once is enough. So listen, there's lots of things that we have to go through. And we ask God why. And He will not answer directly, but you see it. Now, we're going in Hebrews today, and the first part of it's pretty tough. So let's get this said as we introduce Hebrews chapter 4. God lets things happen, and we ask Him, why God, why God, why God? And I've had many people, and we've all thought it. God doesn't talk to me. He's never told me why this incident happened, why that happened, why I got hurt. No, no, no. Open your eyes and see it. Because people are taking strength and getting hope from the way you handle your incidents. I realize that things that God allows things to happen, and God allows things to happen to me, because some of you will go through something, and you need to see me take off the sling. You need to see, hey, God can do it for me because He did it for Him. We've got to accept this, that stuff happens to us so others can be healed. Others can be comforted. Others can take hope because we've gone through this. And so here I am, very visible up here, and you see all this, and you're saying, well, okay, if anything ever happens to me, I'll get through it just like that. I can even sit down and talk to Him and say, how did it feel? What does the nerve thing feel like? You know, a whole bit. Were you scared going in? You know, I was not scared going in. I was scared when I woke up. I was. Because all this is immobilized in that sling, and you're getting all these instructions and all this stuff, and they're telling you when that nerve block wears off, you may have some of the worst pain you ever... Well, that'll do it. And I don't know about you. I tolerate pain pretty well, but I also have an innate fear of it too. I don't volunteer for pain. Anybody here do that? Okay. Yeah. Oh. Does Brene volunteer for pain? Never. These hands go up over here a lot, and they worry me sometimes. But so when it happens to you, instead of just worrying yourself to death and saying, God, speak to me, show me, it's like, well, look with spiritual eyes and hear with spiritual ears. They around you are being helped. And it's like, really? Yeah, they're watching how you handle this. They're watching to see if the Jesus that you claim that you have in you as your Savior, His Holy Spirit, is He real? Are you really saved? But how you handle it? That doesn't mean you can't feel sorry for yourself a moment and have some tears and hit a few things, kick a bucket, but you get over it and you start handling it. And it's all part of this existence, and these are things I've never in my younger days as a pastor understood. Because I've questioned God many times, why did you let this happen to them? This, that, and then now in these later, older years, for myself, why did this happen to me? And the only answer I can give you, looking around and listening to people who come and say, you've encouraged me by the way that God's healed you, and you've come through this, and the way you handled it, then that's the answer. God lets these things happen, let them happen to me, and I'm asking Him, why? What did I do? I'm always thinking, what did I do? Do you do that? I must have done something that made God awfully upset. And God said, no, just the opposite. I want them to see that Jesus is real in you. It helps them. They're encouraged. They come to Christ. They stay in Christ through what you're going through. Keep it in mind as we work it. Now we're going to go in chapter 4 of Hebrews, verses 12 through 16. Let me read them without commenting too much, and then we'll... I broke into a passage here. Please read the first part. I just can't get it all in up here. And I'm sorry I can't, because it's wonderful. But here's the tough. We're going to start tough and lighten up. Been through this a few time or two, but not the same message, not the same points. But here we go. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there's no creature hidden from His sight, But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. There's a lot in here. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, look what he says, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Wow. So I can't exegete this whole thing and go into the Greek and the Hebrew and all this stuff, and Aramaic, but I'll give you what points we can get. And the first one is this. And I titled this message as the clear open truth. And this is just the clear open truth. And this is what I started to put it, God's truth that he's saying you must have or whatever, but I don't like this must and orders. But this is the clear truth. It's open truth. And the number one is this. The Word of God is living and it's powerful. And this is what we don't get. Now, I've read most every Tom Clancy book that's been produced. I have volumes of them and I have a library Clancy. I'm just a big Tom Clancy guy. Ever since I read The Hunt for Red October and all those books, I just got caught on him. And then I really got caught when some of the things he's written about in his books happen. And in one of his books he wrote that planes could attack our government, hit the White House and all, and so anyway, I'm not pushing Clancy up here. I'm just saying, you can read a Clancy. You can read a John Grisham. I have tons of his books. The first book of his that got my attention was A Time to Kill. And after that, I need to read some more Grishams. And so I try to read outside sources and enhances. I don't want to be a pastor. I've been around too many of them. And I've had one tell me that he said, I only read the Word of God. Oh, that's fine. Yes, you don't read it. You don't read outside sources. You don't expand your knowledge of science and technology and weaponry and all. And he said that's worldly. I just stay in the Bible. And I thought it was wrong, but my thoughts were, which God immediately knew, idiot. I thought your people are getting. They may get the Word of God. They don't have any practical application of it. You need to know how it works out here. You need to be able to tell them God says, and this is how it works. You need to understand things that are happening in this world. That's the way I feel. So I've always tried to educate myself and keep going. I encourage you to do it. Give yourself, some of you may say, I don't have a college degree. You can get one without going to college by reading. Now you have your tablets and everything. I don't like tablets. I don't want to read it on something. I want the book in my hand. That's just me. You can read it like you want to read it. But read and learn. But just be sure you read good stuff that teaches you. So when we get into this, the reason I'm saying that is all these books you can read will teach you and educate you, but there's one difference between a book written by a person and a book written by God. The book written by a person is they're dead or neutral words. You just read them, entertainment, a thriller, a mystery, and that's it. But when you read the Word of God, what does it say about it? This is where I'm getting to. I'm not rambling. I'm not pushing other books and trying to make this distinction. When you read the Word of God, it's living. Did you catch that word in here? I'm using New King James because it's more accurate than a lot of them. It's living and powerful. Now, what does that mean? The Word of God is an active, living, spiritual cell. It's actually a living cell. And when you read the Word of God, you are absorbing the cells of the Holy Spirit. Now, don't get whacked out on this. Follow me. When you read another book, it's just a book. When you read the Word of God, when it says living and powerful, it means God's Word is alive. It's a living organism. It's a cell that enters your spiritual soul. And that cell begins to multiply. And the more you read of the Word of God, the more cells of God that are put into your system, your spiritual stream. Do you follow me? I know this is this deep. I mean, this is stuff you teach in an advanced seminary class, but we got to do it here. And so just take this where it goes. It's living, which means when I read God's word, it's not a neutral thing. I don't just read it, put it on the shelf, and get another one. I read it, and that word starts becoming something in me. It starts expanding. It starts growing. We worry about the bad stuff that people get, and the bad cells then, and they erupt, and it hurts people, and they get all these diseases and tumors and all this stuff. What the Word of God is living and active, and it's alive. And as you get into the Word of God, it starts to multiply itself in your heart, in your mind. It becomes a living organism in you, and it's working to transform you into a total, walking, breathing Word of God. You know, these old movies, The Blob and all this stuff, you know, invaders of space, and they would, and they would take your body. Well, actually, that's a little bitty tiny play on what happens when you ask Jesus Christ into your heart and pen of your sins. You ask Jesus in your heart and he saves your soul. He begins to transform you. He takes your body and he wants to take over your body and control your thinking, and control your words, and your attitude, and everything about you. Change your temperament, lower the threshold of your temper, and he wants to do that. But what we do is we start taking medications against him. We start letting our rage, our anger, we go take some drugs. You know, we drank too much alcohol, and we battle him. That is the medications we use, and many more, against him working. And so you have to just sit here and say, I've got to decide, am I going to let God, as his living, powerful word, that his living organism, come into my life, and he's there? Am I going to stop resisting him, battling him, taking and doing stuff to keep him squeezed down, or am I just going to let him take over my heart, soul, spirit, mind, will, emotion, and my body? And it's an open, truthful, honest question to every one of us. Are you going to let him possess you? Not just your soul, your whole being. You're going to let him make you into something different than you are right now. And that puts a fear into a lot of us. Because we like where we are. We're comfortable. We don't want change. I'm fine. And I never got it. I couldn't. There's no way I could have comprehended it. But as you gain some age, you get a little bit more mature in life, you don't like change. Don't move my chair. Don't touch my glass. That's my cup. Blah, blah, blah. That's my plate. That's my fork. I have a fork I use every time. There's other forks in there, but there's one fork I use. My sister comes to see me and grabs my fork. And I was looking at her kind of funny, and she said, what's the matter? This fork not good? And I said, it's my fork. I did. And you know, y'all met her. Most of you met her. She didn't put up with me. She says, not now. Hands me this big old fork. It's like, call her Deb. Deb, you know, and it's like, get over it. We resist change, and yet, listen to me. God is still changing. There is no age limit to God's change. God is still changing you. You can be 80 years old in here, 90 years old, 95. God's still changing you. And he's going to win because he'll eventually say, okay, enough. I'm making the big change. And he just changes this earth suit for a heaven suit, a space suit. You're going to change. So why don't you just give in now and have more peace and joy in your heart? You see, the Word of God is living and powerful. It's active. You know, what does that mean? Literally, you know what it means? Yeah, I'm going to give you this a practical application. When you say the Word of God is living and active, you know what that means? It does things. I like that. That's what it literally means. The Word of God does things. It makes things happen in your life. It starts transforming you. It's working to make you into something like you never dreamed of being. Let it. This message here is intended to say, don't fight God. Let his living, powerful word come on into your life and convert you. It's God's living power to make changes in our lives like nothing else ever can. God's living word is always alive and working in our lives. That's why we have tension. We get stress. We get upset. Why? Because we're not realizing that we're resisting the change that he's bringing into us. Now, things like this arm, things like the other stomach surgery and the tumor and the collapse and blah, 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 and things in your life, it's intended to humble us and let us know we can't resist God. Let him change us. And he allows things to happen so others can be encouraged and helped, but also so we quit fighting with our independence and resisting. I'm a very self-sufficient person, brought on by the way I was even raised and trained and taught all my life. And God says, but you can't be self-sufficient to me. You must be totally surrendered, Tony. And if you keep trying to do this with me, now you can do this with the world, you can fight the elements, you can get out there and really rock and sock it. But you do this with me, and I will allow your arm to be put in a sling. My right arm. My shooting finger. You see how it happens? And it humbles you. And you get to feeling kind of useless. And then you get to the point when you're feeling kind of worthless. And you get down and depressed. And you're just there facing God and saying, I'm just worthless. I can't do anything. People have to help me. And then his spirit begins to work and saying, I didn't allow this for you to feel worthless. I allowed this for you to stop fighting me with your independence and self-sufficiency. This is allowed so that you will turn your full life over to me and trust me totally. And let my word, the living organism, change everything about you. It's not easy. I'm not telling you it's easy. It's hard to do. The word of God is it's a living cell that expands and reproduces itself. You stay in that word and you pray, and you see it in your life. You see changes. People have seen changes in you, and it's not over. God wants to change you more. He wants you to be something you radically different than you ever thought you'd be. And all these woke churches and these feel-good sermons to people, I'm not out here to burn those guys. I'm simply saying they're not allowing God. They're actually enemies of God and don't even know it. They're not allowing him, by speaking and preaching the truth, they're not allowing his word to be a living cell in people. They think God's a Santa Claus. And all you got to do is just have some faith and tell God what you want, and he'll come in the next sleigh ride. Golden chariot from heaven. Now really, that's the messages they get. And the truth is, God said, no, I've come here to change you. I've come here to save you and then transform you. I want you different. Why? Because they can't see Jesus here except through you and me. And so we have to be changed so others can see Christ in us. He's our hope of glory. And so that's what this whole thing. So the word of God, first off, we accept the fact that it's living and powerful. And now, you ready for this? It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Huh, isn't it? And look what he says it does. Piercing even to the division of soul, and listen to this, the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So what's he saying? Here it is, folks, and accept this. God's word is sharper than any sword. God's word penetrates and cuts through all, listen to this, you ready? All the pretense, all the denials, all the garbage. It cuts through all the dirty and all the sinful that we think nobody is aware of in our lives. And nobody may be aware of it, but God says, my word is living. And though my spiritual cells are attacking your dirty cells, and I want to expunge that from you. I want to cleanse that from you. I want it out of your body. I want it out of your soul. And it says, my word, which is as sharp as a sword, goes down and divides soul and spirit. And it says, it discerns everything. I know what you're doing. That's what he's saying. I know your anger. I know your secret thoughts. I know what you're thinking about somebody when you smile at them and you can't stand them and you hate them. And God's saying, I know it. I know it. My word reaches in there and seeks it out. And that's why he convicts us of it. And then we fight him. And we make excuses. And his word is even cutting our excuses apart. That's why you have contention, friends. If you're having, if you ever just going along and suddenly you're just tense and you're upset, you don't know why, you can't figure out, nothing's happened, but you're just struggling, I will almost guarantee you there's a spiritual battle going on in you. God's speaking to something and you don't want him to touch it. You leave it alone. I'm comfortable with it. I was molested. I got hit. I got hurt. Don't touch it. And God's cells are just surrounding it like white blood cells. And he's saying, I want that thing killed in you. I want it out of you. I don't want it, sir, haunting you the rest of your life. So my word is cutting through and it's awful to you at the moment and you don't like it. I'm a spiritual surgeon, God says, and I cut through the soul and divide the soul and the spirit and the marrow and the bone. I get down in there and I want those little things you call secrets out. Gone. And I'm pushing you and surrounding those dirty cells in you with my holy cells, and I'm expanding and growing. And if you resist it, your intention, you're in strife and you're in depression. You don't even know why it came on. We don't even realize, because we've been doing it so long, that there's a spiritual struggle going on within us. And we're contending with the Holy Spirit, trying to hang on to something that we become familiar with, and we know it's nothing but a nasty old tumor. You know, listen, when you've been molested and you've been abused, you've been abandoned, you've been hit, you've been hurt, somebody walked out on you, whatever it is, or you did it to them, that's a nasty, ugly thing. And God, with his Holy Spirit's sword, is reaching in there and cutting that apart, saying, I want to remove this. Quit moving around. Be still. Let me take it up. Be still and know that I'm God. This is one of the deeper messages I've had to deal with. And it was tough on me messing with it. I sit there. That's another reason my arm's banged up. I can't do a whole lot. So he gets me where I'm. Yeah, just focus, Tony. Listen to me. So you can bring this word and it not be misunderstood. And what God was speaking about, I said, quit, don't have pretense in your life. I'll cut it apart. I'm working on it. Denials, garbage, excuses. How many of you, you don't have to raise a hand. How many of you just really, truly, you're always making excuses for the way you are? Thank you. Oh, you're helping him hold his hand up. But we make excuses for the way we are. Yeah, that's the way I was raised. You ever seen my mom or my dad or then and now and that? Or the family I had, or whatever I went through. And God's saying, my living word, my sword is down there cutting and cutting. And he lets us get embarrassed. He lets us get caught in our little tails. And we don't remember what we said yesterday, what story we told, and on it goes. God's allowing that to break us so he can get it out. Okay, we won't beat it to death, but you get it. God's word reaches into our innermost recesses. And let me tell you something. You can't bluff him. You can bluff me. You can bluff other people. You can even lie to yourself and bluff yourself. But you can't bluff God. He knows. He knows every thought. He knows everything. That's our third point. Listen, his word searches it out and he knows everything, every thought. Listen to this. God knows not only every thought that's in our heart right now, he knows every thought we've ever thought and he knows what we're going to think. So why hide it? Have you come to that point in your life where you really openly say to God, because he already knows it, but you need to admit it to yourself, God, I was just thinking an ugly thought. God, I just wanted to shoot that person. God, I just wanted them really killed. I'm thinking murder in my heart. Or God, I'm thinking lust in my heart. Or God, I'm thinking theft in my heart. And tell him. And they're saying, yeah, I know. I've been sitting up here listening to that stuff. And God, I used to think this, and I used to think this about women, or I used to think that about men, or whatever it is. And God's saying, yeah, I know you did. And I know what you're thinking right now. And I know what you're going to think. You want to let me be on top of it? You want me to let it take out and get those nasty things out of you? Or are you just going to keep resisting me with them? He knows every thought. We can't bluff him. You ever try to tell God, give him an excuse why you said or did what you did? And God, I was just mad. I was upset. And God's saying, oh, come on. Come on. Now, you can't bluff me. Don't make excuses to me. Just get down with it. You ever thought that maybe God let the incident happen so you'd blow up and see yourself like you really are? You think he's ever let somebody make you mad? Just so you look at yourself in your own mirror and say, there's some dirty cells in me. Where are they coming from? Why am I allowing this in my life? I use it for what? Protection? Use it to hurt people I don't like? Push them away? God knows who you are. He made you. He knows what you're thinking. God knows what you're thinking, whether you really realize it or not. And he knows what you're going to think tomorrow. And you know what? Think about this. Now we get to the better part. God knew every thought you'd ever think, every action you'd ever take, every word you'd ever speak. He knew you'd cuss at him, blame him for things. He knew you'd blame your husband, your wife, your kids, your mom and dad, your church, your pastor, your family, friends, boss, co-workers. God knew all the excuses and all the thoughts and everything when he was putting you together in your mother's womb, and he made you anyway. Does he love you or what? He knew what kind of a little rat you could be. And he made you anyway. We don't give him enough credit. We take him for granted. But God knew every blasted sin you'd ever commit, every thought, and he made you anyway. Why, if I was making and God, if God said, here, I want you to make so-and-so, okay? You're going to let me do it? Yeah, okay. I'll give you the knowledge on making them. Now, Tony, as you're making them, I want you to know they're going to cuss you. When they're 22 years old, they're going to blame you for everything and cuss you to your face. Really? And then they're going to go over here and deny you, and they're going to go through a period of years, months, years, or whatever, to where they won't walk in your word, and they're going to go off the deep edge, and they're going to live in immorality, and they're going to commit sin and everything. And it's like, I'm not making them. You think I want to make somebody like that? Do you think I want somebody that's going to go do that and cuss me and do all that stuff? You know what God's going to say? Yeah, you're going to make them because it's you. That's you. That's what you're making. So before you despair, before you let this message kind of get you down and say, golly, I'm naked before him? Oh, emotionally, spiritually, don't hide anything from God. Tell him the truth. If you don't like somebody, just tell him. He's not going to beat you in the head. He'll reward you. You'll see. Things will begin to change in your life for the better. Just tell him, I'm angry. I'm holding resentment. I have these secret thoughts about this person, something, whatever. Lord, there's lust in my heart about this. Lord, there's murder in my heart about that. Whatever it is, I know you know it, but I need to say it. I want to say it. I'm hanging on to something here because I really want to hurt them one day. Whatever it is, tell him. And he'll say to you in his spirit, I know it. I know that. I've been knowing it a long time. I knew it when I made you. And I know exactly what to do. Give it to me. Keep telling me the truth. Okay, before you get into despair, just remember this. You know what he closes this? He says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus, Son of God, let's hold fast our confession. You know what he's saying? He's saying, yes, I've exposed all this, and now you know I know everything. I always will. I want you to come clean. I want you to let me put my living cells in you and make you a total different human being. But at the same time, when you blow it, when you just totally mess it up, when you fall back into the old pattern, you have a great high priest. Jesus is our high priest. There's no need for any more priest on this earth. He replaced the whole sacrificial system because he's the final sacrifice. Jesus went through the heavens, it says, and he came clean. He wants you to come clean, come out of it. He wants to heal your hurts and he wants to heal your pain. He wants to take away all that junk, that paranoia, by the way, that you have. Some of us have such paranoias, it's unbelievable. He wants to take that away and say, just go to sleep at night. I'll handle the doorknobs. Don't worry about who's doing what. I'll take care of it. I know everything. It's not your problem. It's mine. He'll take all that away. He wants you to come clean. He wants you to confess it and give it to him. He wants you to be free from your past, from your present, so you can walk into your future. And if you continue in my word, see, that's what Jesus said. If you continue in my word, me, the living organism, will so transform you that you will know the truth. And you're hearing it today. And the truth will set you free. That's what this is all about. Yes, I'm closing. We're running a little late today, so I'm going to wrap it up. Jesus knows your weaknesses, and he has sympathy. That's what it says. He said, a priest, a high priest who... We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize. What does it mean? We have one who sympathizes. He feels your pain. He feels your hurt. He feels it that you've been abandoned. He knows you've been molested. He knows you've been abused. He knows you did it to someone else, but he feels it. He feels the guilt you suffer, the condemnation you feel. He feels it. He knows it. He's with you. He's a high priest. When you come into Jesus, he's your real counselor. You come to him and say, Lord Jesus, I'm hurting. I'm down in despair. This happened. And I said, I know. I got you. I got it. I forgive you. Let me handle them. Don't you go seeking vengeance. I'll take care of this problem. I'm your high priest. I'll intercede for you. I'm interceding to God. You know, God's not going to strike you dead because many times we've done and said things, haven't we? And we wondered, is God going to strike me today? And Jesus said, no, because I got you covered with the blood. And I appeal to the Father and I intercede for you. I'm your great high priest. That's what I do. That's my job. Look at all this that's available to us. Jesus never sinned, but he suffered and died for our sins. He took all of this stuff on himself. And when we confess and repent, Jesus is there to forgive us. So this is it. Come boldly before the throne of grace, not because you're good, not because you're going to be good, but because you're cleansed in the blood of the Lamb and the great high priest, Jesus Christ, has atoned for your sins. He's offered himself as your final sacrifice. And he says, come to me, come to me, come to me boldly, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yeah, I'll give you grace. You know what grace is? Undeserved favor. I will give you forgiveness. And I will give you love. And I give you most of all, myself. That's what he's saying to every one of us. Day after day after day, I give myself to you in marriage to you. I'm your great high priest. Come to me. Bring it to me. And I will care for you. Our Father in heaven, we put our faith, our love, our trust in you. Take that sword and go ahead and cut through the marrow and the bone, dividing soul and spirit. Go ahead and search our hearts and know us, Lord. Take out the stuff, the bad cells, and replace it with your living organism of yourself. Grow in us, Lord. multiplying us to where we're totally overcome and overwhelmed with you. To where when people meet us and see us and we see them, they see Jesus in us and it becomes their hope. It becomes their faith. It becomes their salvation. Thank you for saving us and being there for us, our great high priest. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen. And thank you for being here to hear this word today.